Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be together, and it's good to have all the youth with us this morning. Thank you for being at church, and I do pray that we've got something special lined up this morning. It's Father's Day, so we've got something special lined up. We've got a few folk that are going to be sharing this morning, and then we've got our preteens that are going to be sharing about their dads, so that's going to be exciting. But happy Father's Day. How are the fathers feeling? Are you feeling happy? Joyful. Are you feeling joyful? What are your other feelings? What is coming out of you from within? Is there gratitude? Well, it's good to be at church this morning, and happy Father's Day. Fathering like our Heavenly Father would want us to father. And so you read the scripture, and this is something that we studied out last year in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verse 48, it says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And when you think of this word perfect, we often think of being flawless, of never making a mistake, of always getting everything right. But that's not what Christ is saying here. And it's not all about perfection, that you need to be the best father, that everything needs to go the right way. That's not what he's speaking about here. You know, the Greek word is actually for perfect is telios, which means mature, which means to become complete. It's a process, which means to become whole, which means to reach an intended place. So you're striving for something. You are maturing in that. And it's a beautiful word, this word perfect, because it says to each one of us, become perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And it's not trying to raise children the perfect way. It's not trying to be the perfect student or getting 100% and then you're perfect. That's only for a few. But the most of us never get there. We average folk, and that's fine. And God sees us through that lens. But our aim is that we are striving. And Jesus is teaching us that our lives should increasingly reflect the character of our Heavenly Father, especially His love and His mercy, His grace, His compassion, His kindness. And just think about that. Is Jesus here is teaching that our lives should increasingly, so that's very important, increasingly reflect the character of our Heavenly Father. And we are being transformed and increasingly changing. That we're growing into the kind of love that our Father is trying to help us attain. And God Himself is saying, I know you can do this. I'm walking with you. You're not on your own. You've got the Holy Spirit with you. Just be in step with God's Spirit. God is saying to each one of you, I believe you. I believe in you. God is saying to each one of you, keep going, keep persevering, be committed to this growth, and God wants us to reflect His character. As children often resemble their parents, is that not so? You know, not just in looks, but in behavioral things, you know, they resemble their parents. They can even resemble their parents' looks, their parents' smile, their parents' laughter, the mannerisms of their parents. Some can be good and some can be bad, you know, but they sort of reflect their parents. An apple is not going to fall far from the tree, you know, and I've not fallen far from my dad's tree. It rolled away a bit, but it's still close. And, you know, we resemble that. And here God is trying to say spiritually, God wants His children to continuously resemble Him. And that's what the goal is in maturing and growing, is that we don't just resemble Him when we feel like resembling Him on a Monday afternoon. we resembling him? At work, at home, on the sports field, when we play soccer this afternoon, we resembling him. We're competitive, but we resembling him, you know. And people should see his kindness in our kindness. People around us should see his forgiveness in our forgiveness. His generous heart in how generous we are. His love in our love. And that introduces me to our three speakers this morning that are going to be speaking about. Zalmor's going to be coming up, and he's going to be speaking about God, the loving Father, followed by Wilson, God, the faithful Father, followed by our brother Mbeki, God, the wise Father. And so we're going to learn from these brothers and hear about their examples. And so let's encourage them one by one. They can come up here. Brother Zalmor, we will start off with you. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Let me look for my notes. I'm getting a bit younger. Yeah. So, good morning again, and happy Father's Day to all fathers. So, today, as we meet on the day that we are celebrating our day. We are reminded that we are fathers, but we are not just fathers who are supposed to do things in our own way. So we talk about the godly father, the father on earth who's supposed to represent the God of the Father above. So it comes with excitement, it comes as a privilege, it comes as an honor, and it also comes with responsibilities. So the first one that talks about God being love and loving Father. So we'll basically read from Luke 15, which is a story that we are all familiar with, the story of a prodigal son. We know that he asked for his inheritance, and he left home, he squandered all what he had, and at some point he felt that he needed to go back home. But the part that we are reading is not focusing on the son per se, it's focusing on the father. So I'll read. It's Luke 15, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So when we look at this kind of a father, the first thing is that he saw his son. He was the first person to see the son as he appeared. The reason he was able to see his son is because he has been looking. He's been watching that space and expecting that one day my son will come back. So it says to us as fathers, when we have children, we must see them. So if you have children, you know at times when they talk to us, we pretend to be hearing, but we are not. And the reaction will show. You'll hear your son or your daughter saying, "Dad, we are not hearing me." Yes, we are hearing the words, but you just don't get me. So that's the first thing, that as fathers, we must see our children. We must see their anger. We must see their excitement. We must see their fears. We must see their joy. And we must see them before they speak out to us. We are told that at times they will not say anything, but they will be crying inside and crying for us to see them. So we are encouraged to see our children as fathers. So I'm lucky that my children are very vocal and sometimes not to my joy. So I do go to Pretoria from time to time. And when I'm there, I do spend time with Andisiwe at times. We'll have dinner. And all I'm doing there, I'll just enjoy my food and I'll listen to her talk. and she'll talk nonstop. But what that does to me, it gives me two things really, is that I just want to understand where she is in terms of her headspace, whether she's having challenges and whether she's excited where she is. But also to understand that, yes, she must put a brave face to just keep me comfortable, but as a father, you should know, because you're supposed to be a protector, and you cannot protect if you are not watching. This father was watching. That's why he was the first one to see his son when he was coming back. So we are all encouraged to do the same as this father, that we must always see our children and be very close to them, because if we are not, we are likely to lose out on things that we should be actually seeing. And the other important part is that we have to pray with our children, because when you pray with our children, they start to know how we feel about them, what our fears as parents are, what their fears are, and it will all come up. What we wish for and what we are praying for, they will hear from the prayers that we share. Then the second thing that comes from this scripture is that the father was compassionate. That's a compassionate love that we all must demonstrate. Because ordinary, I will imagine, when your child is asking for everything from you and she or he leaves home, you probably feel either angry or feel disappointed. But then when the child comes back, remember that when he comes back, he is feeling humble, he's feeling ashamed, he's probably not even sure whether he will be accepted back at home, because he knows that what he did was not correct. So as a parent, the thing that we are likely to do is to basically call them to order and ask them to account. But this father, before calling the child to account, he just expressed his love, he expressed his excitement. So the Bible says, when he saw his son coming, he was compassionate to the extent that he ran to meet the son. So I was listening to a podcast. You were saying that in this kind of a culture, for an elderly person to run like that is quite embarrassing. I don't know why, but that's what they are saying. But this father forgot everything about it. He ran towards his son. That demonstrated that he was ready to close the gap, because he knew that the walk that his son was still going to make to get home was going to be the longest and the most difficult for him. But as a father, he was ready to go and close that gap and go closer to his son. And we are saying that as fathers, we need to build our homes. They should be comfortable, so that our children, when they come back to us, they must know that they are coming to a warm and welcoming home. It must not be a home where a child will ask so many times whether I want to go back there. Remember that in the scripture, the verses before this, they tell us that the son didn't just wake up and go back home. He tried other means. He went to look for work because he needed to survive. But eventually, he realized that I needed to go back home in spite of everything that I've done. Now we have this father who's very compassionate and very ready to go and close that gap. And that kind of a response is not something that you'll think about as a father, as a parent. It just comes naturally. That's when we are able to demonstrate that we are a good father. I remember there was a time when my son was in Grahamstown and he felt very ill, and it was late at night. And we realized that if we were to wait, it will take us so many hours. There's only one flight going to Grahamstown. We'll probably get there in the afternoon of the following day. I tried to sleep, and my wife woke me up and said, no, she can't sleep. And we decided that let's just drive. And for those who know where Grahamstown is, it takes between 9 and 10 hours to get there. Yeah. So it was just before midnight. We got into a car. We drove down. At 6 a.m., we were passing with Umtata, going that way. And we picked him up at 6 p.m., we were passing Umtata again on our way back. We got back here just before midnight, and I was telling one colleague at work, and he asked me, I said, but when we were driving at that time, were you not worried that we were feeling tired? We were going to feel tired. I said, no, it didn't cross my mind. Because at that time, there was the adrenaline that you just want to see your son protected, you want to take care of your son. This is what we are learning here, that when we are compassionate about your child, you don't have to think, you just have to act and make sure that the child is protected, then you'll worry about the rest later. But obviously, in that protection, it doesn't mean that if the child is doing something wrong, it's not accountable. He still has to account. That brings me to my last point of saying, when we talk about the accountability, there is a way of doing it. Doing it in a manner that is constructive, doing it in a manner that is loving. Our children are not, we do not supposed to love our children because of the results or the what they can achieve. We must just love them before we get into that. And we were discussing this with Lo, because Lo's boys are very good in sport, that at times, as a father, you want to jump in and do the swimming yourself. That's not what this father did. When this son was asking for his inheritance, he allowed him. He knew that what he was doing was wrong, but he knew that he was about to learn something. And it's a risk, if you imagine, that he was taking, because it could have gone either way. But the love that we demonstrate to our children is that we have to create a space, we have to protect them, and we have to be led there to pick them up when they fall. But we don't have necessarily to live their lives. We just have to support them. So I just want to encourage all the fathers that we have a responsibility to support our children. We have a responsibility to provide for them. We have a responsibility to love them. And in loving them, we don't judge them. We just support them. And we have to see them. See them in their own life, not in the space where we want them to be at. One example that I learned is that I was listening to a podcast on the same message, and someone was saying that in teaching my son, I always want to know what's happening in his life. So he's always listening to something, got his earphones all the time, and I never know what he's listening at, and I assume that is music. So I always ask him, so what are you listening at? He say, I'm listening to music. Then he said, I must change the tech. And he changed the tech. He said, who are you listening at? Then it changes, because now the boy has to say, I'm listening to this artist. Then gives a father an opportunity to actually go back and research who this artist is. What kind of music is he playing? What kind of message is he conveying? Is it a message that I want to encourage, or is not the message that is a message that I want to discourage? Mm-hmm. So in so doing, suddenly they are listening to the same music with his son, because obviously he's been able to meet his son at his own level. Mm-hmm. So there are many examples that we can take as fathers, but we have to support our children. And I wish you well and happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Thanks, Amor. I remember that when Caleb and I driving together, and Caleb was asking, if you can have all the superpower in the world, which one do you want? I said, love. So, I mean, clearly I realized that love is not an easy thing. And and we probably lack love a lot in our life. I'm going to talk about faithfulness. Okay. So in Lamentation 3 verse 22 to 23, talk about, because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So this is a lamentation. Lamentation is a very, very sad story. I just give a bit of background here. So basically, this is during the most difficult time, most dark time in the northern kingdom of Israel. Okay, the southern kingdom of Israel. Northern kingdom already gone. Southern kingdom is just at its last leg. At this moment in time, that King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, already besieged this city for 2 years. And things probably already run out, and things become very, very difficult. No food and stuff like that. And eventually they broke into the city and destroyed the temple, killed the king. Eyes out of the king, kill all the nobles, and take all the prominent people in the country, hook them with a hook, and chain them to take them to Babylon. So obviously Jeremiah is looking this thing happen in front of him. He was warning Israelites, says, guys, you know, look, you have been rebellious to God. You have fulfilled, rebelled against God. Your neck is stiffed, so that God, the doom, the destruction is coming to us, you know. So repent. Never happened. So, and at this moment that Jeremiah saw all of these things happen in front of him, he's crying, you know, that his tears is almost just have no more tears to cry out anymore. He just says here, and he's just complaining about, God, why don't you see us? Where are you? Why is darkness all around? Why are you surrounding all of this thing to us that we don't see a way out? We can't see you. And suddenly this is a verse changes everything. He says, because of God's great, because almost like his focus is on present troubles and all of those things. Suddenly a thought comes into his mind. He says, because God, Lord's great love, and we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, you know, the story is like that, because this is the moment where God actually protected them, take the remnant of the Israelites to Babylon to preserve them for 70 years, and then ask them settle down, get married, prosper, then I will bring you back, you know. So if you look entire Bible, you will see the story, you'll see God's plan. But at that moment, Jeremiah couldn't see that, you know. So for us, it reminds me about a story that, you know, a person is walking with God along the beach. Then, you know, he goes through a very difficult time, you know, when... And he saw it's only one line of footprint on the beach. Then he's asking God, what happened? You know, in my most difficult time, you're not there. You're not with me. And God then answered him and says, you know, that footprint is mine. I carried you through all these difficult times. So to me is that, who of us doesn't go through difficult times in life? You know, all of us go through difficult times in life. But once we go through difficult time, we need to remember that every morning, great is God's faithfulness. You know, he's there. He's like the lighthouse on the beach, you know, beaming out the light, calling you to come back to him, because he's there. He's there for you. He has a plan for you. That's what is famous about this verse, says, I have a plan for you, which is to prosper you, not to harm you. You know, so that is what happened when those people been taken away from Jerusalem to Babylon, and that famous verse comes from, which God always has a plan for us. We need to remember that. You know, his faithfulness to us is renewed every day. Here, this is what this verse is saying. It's saying that, you know, past has passed. You know, you have learned the lesson. You have been crushed. Your heart is broken. Now, don't forget the past. Don't forget about past. But don't focus on the past. Focus on me. you know. So I'm here. I'm like a lighthouse here. Look at me. Come back to me. So what I want to say is that, you know, in our life with our kids also go through tough times, you know, and he need us. But when he's busy, like in a very like chop sea, that he only see wave and those things come at him or whatever, you know, he can't see you. You know, he's just focused by, distracted by the moment challenges in their lives. We need to be that lighthouse, stand on the seashore to beam out the light for them to say, we are here for you. And how do you gain that trust for them? You need to be present. You need to be there every moment until they realize my father is always there for me. He carried me through the most difficult times. So, you know, as fathers, we need to be there for them, be present in their lives. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Yeah, good morning, church. Thanks, brothers, for a great sharing that you have shared this morning. So I think my job is easy. It's just to say amen and sit down. Because the job has been done, but I'll be looking at God, the wise father. I know sometimes to be wise, we look at it as the wisdom of this world, but with the scripture that I'll read now, is so different because God is wiser than everyone. So we will look at James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So God never expects us to father our children with our own wisdom alone. So he needs us to come to him. He's waiting for us. The invitation is there. It's just a matter of recognizing that we need him. Sometimes as fathers, we make a mistake to say, I know it from the book and I know what to do. So we need disciples next to us to assist us to father our children. That's right. You know, having a toddler, again, you can't be a better father without learning from someone else who had been having a toddler before. I've got teenagers also. I'm still learning from other brothers. I'm also learning from the teens also. I will share a bit about their behaviors as we go along. So I didn't tell them that I'll be sharing about this, but to God be the glory, I will. So many fathers carry a heavy responsibility. We want to provide for our families, protect our children, make the right decisions, and be good examples. But again, sometimes as a parent, you feel like, I am inadequate. I'm not good enough. I don't know who's gonna teach my children. I don't even know where to start and when to start teaching them and when to be with them or to listen to them. So we do sometimes face those challenges where we're like, whew, I'm not sure. And then we end up expecting social media to take over, to teach our children. And mostly of the stuff there is shocking. And for them, they can't distinguish between good and bad. So they need us in those situations. Sometimes most of us as parents, we rely in our school. No, this LOH school is gonna teach them. The teachers will take over. But at the end of the day, we are parents.
That's right.
It's our responsibility to do it. And also sometimes we rely on the peer pressure. No, you've got your peers, you've got other kids, so you should know how to navigate through. That's not right. It's us who are supposed to teach our children. Mm. So God knows that fatherhood is not easy. That is why his words tells us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask him. God does not expect us to have all the answers. Instead, he invites us to seek his guidance. So I'll look at the personal reflection. The first one would be discipline. You know, to discipline your child, sometimes you think twice. I've seen it where I discipline with anger, but I don't see it at that time. But later on, because I've got different kids, initially they've got different, you have to have a different approach as well. So this one day, we were just having fun, but it happened that I was not in a good state. So I ended up, you know, tightening up my arm a bit, and I hurt one of them. I won't say who. But okay, later on, I could see down that, hey, whenever I come, this person will go somewhere else. Thank God I noticed that it's me. You know, I was not taught to come to apologize to a child. This us as Zulus, just like you're embarrassing us. But with God, it's unfortunate. So one scripture came to my mind, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, where it says, don't allow the sun to go down while you're still angry. So I had to go back on my knees. I was like, God, how do I do it? And apologize. Because at the end of the day, I was disciplining her. Oh, God, it's her now.
Oh, him. Him or her.
But I ended up being disciplined by God, of which is good. So that's where I noticed that these scriptures are not just there for fun. We need to apply them into our lives. And then the second one, we'll look at the characters. I think I've touched on this one already, that our kids, they've got different characters. You can't say, because I am a father or a mom, the way I treat this one should be the same as the other one. They are all different. For me, it was difficult to understand that. When I speak to Ulwa, you know, we must know your story. You can't just come to her and say whatever that you feel like. You need, you know, to know what you want to say and how to say it. But to Tsepiso, he's a man, I'll just say whatever I feel like saying. But to Lua, it's different. Even the way they ask things, they are not the same. So they are very, very different to each other. And then the other one, the friendships and influence. I know we want the best for our children. It's unfortunate that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupt the good character. So we need to make sure that we assist them in choosing friends. And if it means you step in as a parent to, you know, to end that friendship, you have to. Because at the end of the day, the kids outside, they are not taught the way our kids are taught here at church. So we need to make sure that we are there for them and encourage them to have friends within the congregation or within the church. And then I'm also reminded of a GPS navigating system. I know most of us are drivers here, so whenever you miss a turn, that lady is so nice. It doesn't get angry or say funny words to you. It tells you, recalculating. You've missed a turn. You miss a turn again, it won't say, hey, you don't know where you're going. No, it will tell you, recalculating, you've missed a turn. So even with God, he's so patient with us.
Yeah.
We mess up many times. We say things we don't want to say. But for him, he's still saying, I am the wisdom. Come to me. I'm ready to accept you. With all your faults, I am here for you. So our Heavenly Father works in a similar way like a GPS. As fathers, we will not always get everything right. We will make mistakes. We may say the wrong things. Make poor decisions. or miss opportunities, yet God does not abandon us. When we seek Him, He is continually guide us, correct us, and help us to find the right path. So children do not need fathers who knows everything. They need fathers who know when to find wisdom. They need fathers who pray. They need fathers who seek God's direction. They need fathers who are willing to say, I don't have all the answers. But let us ask God together. One of the greatest gifts a father can give to his children is an example of dependency on God. Amen. When children see their father praying, reading God's word, seeking counsel from the Lord, and trusting Him during difficult times, they learn that God can be trusted in every season of their lives while they are still young. So today, I want to challenge every father here in the congregation. The strongest fathers are not those who know everything. The strongest fathers are not those who never make mistakes. The strongest fathers are those who are humble enough to seek God's direction every day. So this, may our children see in us men who trust God completely and seek His wisdom above our own understanding. May God bless you, strengthen you as a father, as you lead your families. I know it's not easy, it's difficult, but in Him we trust. In Him we will walk together with Him. Amen.
Amen. Wow, just want to uplift our three brothers here. Amen. Great job, guys. Didn't you learn a lot and glean a lot about God's love, God's faithfulness, and God's wisdom? Amazing God that we serve. And there's a bit more here in 1 John 3, verse 1. And I'm going to ask my father to please come up front. And as he's walking up front here, I want to read the scripture. Andile read it this morning. So God's Spirit is working here. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." That's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. And it really is an honor to be able to stand up here with my dear father. Dad, when I read this scripture, I want you to think about two points and answer two questions, please, this morning.
I'll try to.
How does this make you feel that God has lavished His love on you? And secondly, you are nearly 90 years old at the end of the year. And God is calling you His child as a 90-year-old. Wow. What does that make you feel?
Yes, that makes me feel so great, really. And I'd just like to say that 53 years ago today, we cremated my old dad. And he died on the 18th of June, 1973. He was 87 years and 2 months to the day when he died. So I just thought I'd bring that up today. And yeah, yes, God has surely lavished His love on me. And this is so wonderful that I have... I'm getting a bit behind here.
You're doing great.
Okay. That God has lavished His great love on me makes me feel so wonderful. And without God's love, I know that I'm absolutely nothing. All the years of my life, I've had this feeling that God is near me, that he's got his angels covering me all the time. And I know that I'm protected. And what is the next question, Duncan?
Now that you're nearly 90 years old, how do you feel God is saying, you are my child?
I will be 90 years old on the 26th of December this year, God willing. And all my life, I have considered God as my father and I as his child. And that my dad was my father and I am Duncan's father and Duncan's children are my grandchildren and I am their grandfather and their children, I am their great-grandfather. So this has come down from my father to me to Duncan, goes right back to my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and this is what happens. And this proves that that everything comes from God and that we are all God's children. Thank you. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Is that what you wanted? Is that what you needed?
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I'm not a good talker.
Thank you so much, Dad, for sharing. It was so beautiful. And I just want to thank you so much for lavishing your love onto me as God has lavished his love onto you. You know, you've given me things that can help mature me, that can help grow me, that can help make me whole. Thank you for your perseverance in my life towards me as you raised me. And that's taught me that as I've gone through hard times to persevere also and to hold on to my Father. And as we land the plane here this morning, I want us to think about this scripture in 1 John 3. You can close your eyes and think about these words. So what great love the Father has lavished. And that's an amazing word, like lavished, poured, surrounded you with, given you abundance, that we should be called children of God.